gentlemen, welcome to class number 82 of the Ramp to the Highway of Success course for young men. I am Daniel White III, and I am your instructor for this course and the author of the Essence National best-selling book, Letters to Young Black Men. This book was also, or is, a Dallas Morning News bestseller as well as an Amazon.com bestseller. We are using that book as the text and its study guide to guide you through the course. The study guide was developed with the help of Jamie McCallum, MDiv, Truett Theological Seminary, Charles Garrett, MDiv, Southwestern Theological Seminary, and then, of course, my son, Daniel White IV, and my youngest son, Daniel Ezekiel White, is now the chief editor, as we continue on, who is in his third year of college and will be graduating one day soon here. This course is for all young men, but especially for young black men and young men of color who oftentimes have a difficult journey in this great country called America. I call this class the Ramp to the Highway of Success course because my goal is to get you on the ramp as a man. You ought to be able to make it from there with the help of God. Out of respect for you as a young man, my job is to get you on the ramp, point you in the right direction, and not necessarily tell you all of the details once you get onto the highway of success. With God, you can do great things. There's no doubt about that. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we thank you for your holy word that says all things are possible with you. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word that says, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. So Lord, help these young men to develop great personal relationships with you so that they will benefit from your guiding them every step of the way. Some of these young men do not know and do not understand that you will guide them better than any counselor and any preacher, any pastor, and you will guide them not only about major issues, but what they may even think are minor issues, the fine points of life. And of course, Lord, the reason why I know that is because you've done that for me through prayer. So help these young men to become men of great prayer and benefit from your leading them and guiding them, not only in the big issues, so-called, but each and every day. You have the power to pave the way for them, and I pray that they would tap into your power. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. This lesson is titled On Your Relationship with Your Wife or Wife-to-Be, Part 2. This is really Volume 2 of Letters to Young Black Men, so we're digging into some other issues. Someone once said, nothing makes a marriage rust like distrust. Here are six important things that you must do to ensure a happy marriage. Number one, pray. And under the Lord's leading, take the time to choose a good woman to be your wife. A bad woman can and will make your life miserable. The Bible talks about how that there are some women who are foolish and who will pluck down their own families, their own households. But there are some women who are wise, who will build up the family and the household. I have been telling young men recently that if you're thinking about marrying a young lady, go to her family. And I don't care where you have to go. Go and spend time with her family alone without her being there. And set up something where you can stay with them. This is, I'm telling you now, this is very important. You need to know where she's coming from and what kind of family she comes out of. And you can't learn that from one visit with her. You really need to go down there, wherever they might be, and stay with that family for about a month. Work with the father, talk to the mother, meet the grandfather, meet the grandmother, talk to the siblings. And if you have a joker looking at you strange from across the table, you know you're in trouble anyway. Number two, refuse the notion that marriage must become a drudgery. Never, never, never. Marriage would not be worth it if it becomes a drudgery, gentlemen. Number three, make the choice to love your wife. Your wife will not look her best all of the time. Love her anyway. She may not feel her best all of the time. Love her anyway. Love is a choice, and it comes, the real love that the Bible talks about between a husband and wife is agape love, that is unconditional love. That's the only kind of love that will make the marriage last. She may not say the best things all of the time, make the choice to love her anyway, believe it or not, love is a choice and not a feeling. Remember now, Romeo and Juliet is fiction. And not only that, they both died. So it's a tragedy. You don't want that. Number four, avoid bitterness. Do not allow yourself to live a life of bitterness, my brother, my son. Bitterness and strife will only make you, your wife, and your children miserable and bitter. And your marriage will probably end in a divorce, which will make both of you bitter because of it. We are told in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27 and 31, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. It's quite all right to show some anger in order to let your wife know that you are serious about some things. Just do not sin, my brother, my son, in the process. Number five, be the head of your family. Do not buy into the modern philosophy of making the woman the head or giving her the same authority as the husband. Listen, my brother and my son, God wants you to be the head of your family. If you are a man at all, in your heart of hearts, you want to be the head of your family. It is like that proverbial football player who's the head of the team. Guess what? He always wants the ball. And so you, as the head of the team, you ought to always want the ball. You ought to always want to be the head of the family. That's how God made you. That's how God wired you. Anything with two heads is a monster. You don't need to do that or go that route, because it will not work. Believe it or not, your wife, in her heart of hearts, deep down, maybe not on the surface, wants you to be the head of the family, and even your children want you to be the head of the family. It brings about order and peace. Everybody may not like your decisions all of the time. That's okay. God puts you there as the head. So be the leader of your family. Have confidence in the God that leads you and in yourself, and have confidence that the decisions you make under God's leadership are right for you and for your family and for others. Dear brother, one of the biggest reasons why the African American community is in the shape that it is in today is because women run the home and much of everything else. Don't be a part of continuing this negative side of our heritage. Number 6, seek God's guidance each day. Pray this prayer daily. Lord, lead me, guide me, and direct me through this day in all I and my family do. Help me to make wise decisions. Your marriage can be a great blessing to you if you have the courage enough to follow God's leadership and be the head of your household. Gentlemen, let's pray. And when you get married, make sure you pray, even before you get married. And I'm not telling you anything I didn't do myself. Before my wife and I got married, every time we met together, we prayed. And then we continued that for 33 years now. And that's one of the main reasons why our marriage and our family has been successful, and that we have survived and thrived. And right now, while I'm doing this podcast, she's right in front of me, helping me in the ministry, doing some other work that I told her to do. And that's after 33 years. And some of my children are already grown and on their own. By the way, they both sent me some money around Thanksgiving, as they do every month. They're barely, my oldest daughter just turned 30, and they send me thousands of dollars a year for our ministry and for just to be a blessing to me. And I have 4 of my children sitting down doing their work right now as I'm doing this podcast. And this is what I want for you. And this is 33 years later. And you can do it too. But you're going to have to do it God's way, not your way, not your wife's way, not your in-law's ways. Or not your in-law's way, rather, but God's way. And one of the main things you're going to have to do as a husband is lead your family in prayer. I have said it many times. It is a crime for a husband, for a father, to leave his family in the morning without praying for them and with them and reading God's word. So I want to encourage you to do that, young man. If you are getting ready to get married, or if you're already married, this is probably one of the best ways to establish your leadership in the home as well. That is not the purpose of it, but the person who leads in prayer, I assure you, is in charge. So make sure you lead your family, your wife and children, in prayer every day. It will set the pace for the day. You'll have a better marriage and a better family. It would be far worse without it. So make sure you start the day in prayer and reading the Bible with your family. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I praise you. We praise you for this time together around your holy word and around the truth. And we pray that you will help all of these young men to be the young men of God that you want them to be. And Lord, help them to acknowledge you in all of their ways. Help them to understand that you will direct their paths and guide them throughout life, so that on the other end, you'll be able to say to them, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen.
In closing today, dear friend, you might recall I said in the past, and I'll say it again, Tony Dungy, the first black coach to win the Super Bowl and the host of NBC Sunday Night Football, said, "You are never going to get anywhere in sports or in life until you become convinced of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You may become a professional athlete or have fame and nice cars and nice houses and a lot of money, but what you'll find is that all of that stuff goes away pretty quickly. You have to understand that Christ died for our sins, and that he died not just to be our Savior, but so that he could be the center of our lives. Now, like many of you, I grew up in a very religious and church-going family. And during that time, I often heard the phrase, being saved. Now, much of what the church people I grew up around said being saved was back then, especially in my community, is wrong, according to the Bible. I wrote an article about it titled, On Being Saved in Black America, which is available for you to read free of charge on our website at gospellightsociety.com. Right now, I want to share with you very briefly what the Bible says being saved really is. First, understand, dear friend, that you need to be saved because you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, understand that a horrible punishment, that is, eternal hell, awaits those who are not saved. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus Christ said that God will say to those who are not saved, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." Third, realize that God loves you very much and wants to save you from hell. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." If you want to be saved from hell today and be guaranteed a home in heaven when you die, simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and you shall be saved. Simply believe in Jesus Christ, that he died, was buried, and rose from the dead for your sins and for mine and the entire world's. And then call upon him in prayer and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. If he can save me, he can save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou, you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is the most important decision you will ever make in your life. Dear friend, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, I'll see you for our next class. God bless you.